7 different languages to more than a half billion viewers each week. The World Wrestling Federation, the worldwide leader in sports entertainment. In a perfect world, there would be no villains, no conspicuous manifestations of hate. Athletic excellence would be applauded. Sportsmanship would be the rule. Our heroes would remain heroes forever. If life were fair, then this legend would be lauded in his pursuit of an historic 5th World Wrestling Federation Championship. Instead, he's a fallen idol, America's public enemy number one. The respect abandoned, the legacy bludgeoned and spat upon by a society he feels condones defiance and perpetuates hate. If life were fair, then this mighty champion, this survivor of deception and conqueror of all earthly hells, would surely revel in the championship spotlight. The bright lights wouldn't singe his aura, illuminating a dark, horrifying secret from a distant past. And if life were fair, then this man might still be champion, dancing, flying, showcasing his extraordinary talents to legions of fans. He wouldn't be an athlete betrayed by an unwilling knee, a man surrendering a boyhood dream to search for the lost smile of youth. Is it fair that tonight, even in victory, this champion will be haunted by personal demons whose voices cry out from the dark? Is it fair that tonight this man may rewrite history, yet still incur the wrath of a hostile and unappreciative nation? And is it fair that tonight's special referee is a despised enemy of the challenger? Will vengeance flow ruinous from his biased heart, ensuring that tonight will be the last night Bret Hart ever wrestles in this country again? Life isn't fair, but whoever said it would be? And now, Stridex presents WWF SummerSlam, Heart and Soul.
Welcome to August 3rd, 1997. It's SummerSlam. SummerSlam to me is, I think that might be one of my, like, favorites, even though I do enjoy Royal Rumble, of course, and you enjoy WrestleMania. But I think it's because this was the first pay-per-view I ever got with SummerSlam 88.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm Cav, he's Billy.
I actually, the first pay-per-view that I watched was SummerSlam 91.
See? That's, I don't know, it's SummerSlam, because obviously, as they say, it's the second biggest, because it's half and half, you know? And it just had a feel to it. I don't know if it was... It's okay, summer's over, and you're almost, you know, it's starting almost like you're depressed a little bit because it was time to go back to school, shit like that. And it was fall was coming, it was starting to be football season, shit like that. But it used to be, obviously, I feel it used to be bigger. I mean, SummerSlam 88 was fucking, I got the mega powers, for God's sake.
When it was four, it was obviously bigger. Those four,
mm-hmm.
You had to wait like 4 months for it, and then another pay-per-view came along. I mean, that's what made it bigger.
Yeah, and you expect shit to happen, like titles being changed, because it's the second one. And you go, okay, well, somebody's had the title from WrestleMania. They're probably going to drop it at SummerSlam. More of lately than back, like, 80s or obviously in early 90s. So you heard the opening package, and... we're going to be all set for all hell to break loose in SummerSlam here because things just aren't fair, as we hear, right? So
yeah.
We get a cage match starting the show. So, okay, I might be in the minority. I like the blue cage. I don't care what people say. I like the blue cage.
I bought Austin. Austin's got a real site, a real scale ring. And I bought him SummerSlam 1990 version because you can get it, like, you can change the ring apron and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can, like, you can have it as anything you want. But the apron that I chose was the SummerSlam 1990 with the blue cage.
See, I love that. I love the blue cage. It was different. I used to laugh at, like, WCW because they had the shit fence. And I used to say that. I'm like, look at that fucking garbage fence. You can't even get something that looks nice. it was for your eye more than anything else. And obviously the wrestlers hate it, no give to it. But you could climb it. I mean, it was way more fucking, it was sturdy, so you could do shit with it. And it had give. You hit it in the middle, the fucker would bow out. But they stopped with this. I would like to know when the last one they used was, what date that was. But this is Triple H versus Mankind. And Mankind's doing double duty because, as you remember, he is Dude Love, and he is a tag team champion at this point. Now,
isn't the last time they used it when Vince had a match in it, and he said, we got to get rid of that.
Really? When he broke his coccyx in the St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
Yeah.
When it was black. They spray painted it black.
Yeah, but I think it was still that cage.
Yeah, he finally, it's like you got to be put in a ring to go, you know what? This does suck.
I think that's what Pritchard said. Obviously,
I think so
too. Pinch of salt immediately, but I mean, that's what he said. He said Vince hurt himself on it, and then he realized what everybody was going through, and then changed it.
Now the whole rumor about an innuendo, speaking of Bruce, about the whole Mankind Triple H match in the cage was that Mankind was supposed to go do his Superfly pretty much off the top. Not really off the top, but you know what I mean. So you're half off the top of the cage. And he was tearing his shirt open to reveal a giant heart on his chest because he was going to be, now he's Dude Love, and go into that because he had the mask off and everything. And he was going to, you know, come flying off with an elbow, and he tears off the shirt, and there's no fucking heart because he put it on with a goddamn Crayola marker, and he just sweat the entire thing off. So there's nothing there.
I didn't know that's what you were going to say about this match, as in what was supposed to happen.
Uh-huh.
You were saying, I thought it was just that you were just going to turn around and say he was supposed to hit a Superfly splash and then couldn't actually fucking do it. He's too fat.
Yeah, I doubt he was even going to try to attempt that. I can't imagine, uncoordinated. But Triple H said, I remember he was talking about this match, and he said he was laughing his fucking ass off looking up. And I watched for that. He ain't laughing. He doesn't sell any of it. So the thing is, when you see Mankind look down and be like, fuck, he just looks for a second and jumps, and you faintly see some red. But then the problem is the announcers have to be like, well, fuck, can't say anything. So they're trying to scramble almost. He hits the elbow. Eventually he wins this thing. He gets out, and then his foot starts tapping on the floor, and he wakes up, and Dude Love music plays, and he leaves as Dude, which is the most uncoordinated guy you've ever seen with no rhythm ever.
So in terms of our rating system. Now, obviously, this is coming off the back of the recap show that we did. And for those of you that are coming to us from that, we have a different rating system that we created. Do you want to do these at the end, or do you want to do them match by match as we go?
We can go match by match, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a 3-hour or under pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So I have it at $600. Mm-hmm. So that's the rating of a regular pay-per-view. So Old in Your Houses, which is pay-per-views under 2 hours, come in at 450. Regular pay-per-views, which are the older ones, which were at 3 hours, but now they're more or less at four. Mm-hmm. They're a $600 face. And WrestleManias, under the current length, are at $1,000 face value. So this one has a $600 face value compared to the $450 face value of the Canadian Stampede that we just did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that one clocked in at $635. And for me anyway, and that ended up being an A-. So this one has a long way to go because this one has to somehow get to $600 just to get a B- pass. A B pass mark, which I'm not sure it's going to do. As I'm thinking about it in my head right now. But mm-hmm. Where do we start here?
Well, since it's a cage and it's to start the entire SummerSlam off, it's a blood feud. They've been trying to kill each other for a while. So I always put in backstory and the stipulation and what kind of match, this kind of thing is value to me. So I would say right off the bat, it's $100 for something that is going to be like this because of the things I listed. They have a big rivalry. You got a cage. It's Mankind kind of leaving the Mankind thing for a while to go into the Dude Love. And it ends a feud.
Yeah, I didn't think the match was that great. And I would have only had it for a standalone match. I would have had it at like $30, $40. But I took the backstory into consideration. And also the amount of replays we got out of this and how it was sort of the culmination of, oh, he went to the Garden and he watched Superfly. And so you got to upgrade it for that because of the story that they told.
Yeah.
So I doubled up. Almost on what, not quite doubled up. I added $30 to it, even that it probably didn't deserve. For match quality, it was 40, but for a story told, was added 30. So I gave it 70 because of the significance of it.
Next on what happens here is they have a whole presentation with the governor, Christy Todd Whitman, who is bringing wrestling back to Jersey, because there was a whole thing to where you couldn't have anything there because of the steroid testing, and they were fighting that this is not a real sporting event, they shouldn't have to be tested every time we're there, and they bring out the Jersey people, which are headbangers and shit like that with them, and give her a fucking belt with Gorilla. I'm like, man, I would like that fucking belt, god damn it. I wonder if she still has this fucking thing or just gave it away to one of her kids or some shit. So Christy Todd Whitman, who she was talking about running for president one day and all that kind of shit. Goldust versus Brian Pillman. If Pillman loses, he has to wear a dress. Now, this is another fucking rival thing, and this is a stipulation match. I don't think the match is any fucking great shakes, and they completely fuck up the ending. Where it was a sunset flip that fucking Goldust completely lands on top of Pillman. Like, and I was like, man, Pillman fucked this up. And then I was like, no, Goldust fucked it up. And Pillman was fighting his way back to fucking, because the ending is he's supposed to be holding the ropes. And then it's going to be Marlena who hits him in the face with her purse.
You know what? I thought it was better this way, actually. I know it was a botch, but the thing is that sometimes things sort of look better. It looked more real that he was pulling himself to the ropes to cheat. I think if it had been like, it would have been very wrestling looking if he just came down on him like he was meant to, and then he just got hit with a thing. But the fact he was dragging himself over there sort of gave her time to hit him, like she had time to think about it.
Yeah.
Whereas it would have looked very wrestling, very clean and tidy, like if they'd done it the other way. I mean, either way, I'm fine with, because they're just trying to get to the next part of the story, which is him being in a dress. So.
Yeah, and that's not one of Billy's ladies in the background. That's a guinea pig, actually. I would give this
fucking hell. Can you hear that all the way? In the front?
I give this match $50 only. I think it was a great match. I want to be able to give it more for what happens later, but I can't. You can't judge this by what is to come. You can only judge it by up until its match. If I was to do up until fucking weeks later, I'm giving it hundreds. But we didn't know that was anything else was going to happen after this. So
I just gave it $25. I just thought it was a regular match, and I can't judge on anything else either.
Yeah,
and I think Pillman's pretty bad shape here. You can see that he's nowhere near like where he should be.
Yeah, he can't bend his foot, which I keep staring at his fucking feet to see which one is fused shut. The Godwins versus LOD. Here's another feud from Godwins being hurt. But I talk about not caring. I didn't care. This is I can't even go into an explanation about this match. I'll just tell you $25. And that's being generous.
Yeah, I wasn't so generous. I don't think this adds $25 to the pay-per-view, so I've just gone for 15.
See, I gave it 25, I think, only because they had a big backstory. The Great Money Giveaway. Let's take a listen.
Who absolutely, well, if you joined us last Monday, you certainly know that Ryan Chaddock, along with Patrick Stevenson, were at their phone when we made that call, as we're going to be making a little bit later. and you could be the one, or maybe it's one of these two guys who's going to win $1 million here tonight. Yeah, here we go.
You flew those guys in on Continental Airlines. You flew me in on Federal Express.
Patrick Stevenson, Journal Courier. How about that? Right there, wrestling fan losing sleep over contest.
Lafayette, Indiana is where that young man lives.
All right, Todd.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see if we can't give away $1 million. Now I want to introduce you to our first winner. This gentleman was called during Raw. Please welcome 12-year-old Ryan Chaddick from Liverpool, New York, right here. How you doing, Ryan?
Awesome.
Do you have a special number all picked out?
Yep.
All right, why don't you tell us that number right now?
52.
Number 52, key number 52. Go over to the board and pick that key and then stand by, okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen, our second winner, he's here all the way from Lafayette, Indiana. Please welcome Mr. Patrick Stevenson.
I think he's a Stone Cold fan.
Looking a little bit like Stone Cold there.
That's what the look was supposed to be for, but I've had it for more than this event.
Well, that's good. Do you have a number all picked out?
Yeah.
All right, what's your number?
13.
Lucky number 13. Let's hope it's lucky for you.
What an idiot.
What do you mean?
All right, now, 13. Folks, what we're going to do is we're going to call two more people right now. We have a list here. If you send in all of your clues, you're eligible anywhere in North America. We're going to make the call right now, so get off your phone if you're talking on it. You shouldn't be on it.
Look at that guy's ears.
All right,
ears,
let me pick
man.
Up the phone here.
Let's do it, Todd. Let's call somebody and make them a winner.
We've got
there we go. Okay, ready?
Show that ball hit
gotta
kid's
be
ears
home.
Again. Picking up some cable with those ears.
Let's see. A chance to win $1 million.
Nobody's home.
What? Look at Pettengill.
Is your phone ringing right now? Pick it up because we're calling you. Gonna give you one more ring.
Nobody home.
Nobody home.
Nobody home.
They just lost a chance at $1 million. All right, we're gonna go to the next name on the list. All right, here we go. Don't show them.
Yeah, show them.
Don't. You want to hold that a little lower? No, stop.
Why does Pettengill get all the good jobs?
What do you mean you get to sit out here next
to... I just need to get a little closer.
JR and myself.
How about me, Jersey?
Woo!
All right, now is your phone ringing?
The number you have reached, 434.
It's been disconnected.
0-1.
All right, we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep going. All right, here we go.
King, is that your cellular phone out here ringing?
I think that was my answering
machine.
Gotta
hang up. Give me another dial tone. Sonny, how am I supposed to dial?
We know that Mr. Pettengill will not be a fast dialing specialist of any kind.
You should have got somebody smarter to do this, like an eggplant or something.
I got the number already. Oh, is your phone ringing? Come on. Come on. We're calling you.
Hello?
Hello, is Michael home?
Just a moment.
Just a moment. He's coming.
He's coming?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's coming. Let me see who we're calling here.
Hello?
Michael!
Yes?
This is Todd, Sonny, Sable.
Michael,
we're calling. Are you watching SummerSlam right now?
Oh, no, sir, I'm not.
Oh, well, guess what?
What's that?
It's all right.
He's not
it's
even
It's all right.
Watching.
He's going to be watching. You got all the clues.
My cable company don't carry it.
Oh, yeah, cable company needs a good kick in the... All right.
That's all right. You can still win.
You get a shot at $1 million, okay?
Are you serious?
What I want, yeah, absolutely. What I want you to do is pick a number between 1 and 100 for a lucky key, and Sonny's going to try it for you. Give me a number between 1 and 100.
33.
33?
Yes.
Sonny, grab number 33, and we're going to try it. Let's do it, Sonny. Let me have a big drum roll, please, for a chance at $1 million. Sonny, try that key. Michael Simmons, This could be your chance. Here we go. Do it, Sonny. The key's in. Oh. Sorry, Michael, but you had a shot there.
It's $5,000 savings bond anyhow.
All right, go to a neighbor's house and get somebody's television with SummerSlam. We'll see you.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. All right, now, Sable, we're going to do one more. So would you hold this for me? It's still a little lower. There you go. That's going to be perfect. Stop wiggling him. No, not the paper.
Pettingill didn't even tell that guy he won $5,000 just for answering the phone.
Savings bond. Beautiful. $5,000.
Stop wiggling.
We are.
Here we go.
Here we go.
A chance at $1 million. If your phone's ringing right now. Come on.
Hello?
Rebecca.
Yes.
It's Todd Pettengill from the World Wrestling Federation with Sable. How are you?
I'm great.
Guess what?
What?
We're going to give you a chance to win $1 million.
I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh.
All you have to do is give me a number between 1 and 100 for a key that could open this coffin worth $1 million inside. Even if you don't win, you get a $5,000 U.S. savings bond. What's your number?
14.
14? All right, Sable, let's try number 14. Calling Rebecca Cohen in Manchester, Missouri. There's the drum roll, Sable. Will this be the key? A chance at $1 million? No, it's not going to open. Rebecca, as we said, a $5,000 U.S. savings bond just for answering your phone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ryan Shattuck.
All right, Ryan. Your chances just got better. Step on over there. Drum roll, please. Put your key in there and try to open up that casket. Come on, Ryan.
He's a nervous wreck.
Come on, Ryan. Turn it.
Is it going to open? No.
His whole That's life right. is ruined.
Stop it, is not.
That's worth $1 million.
Ooh.
Hey, well, almost.
You might not know it yet, but that's better than $1 million.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready, my friend? Step over there. You've got the drum roll.
Patrick Stevenson.
Open up this thing, Patrick. We want you to win $1 million.
Nope.
No.
Nobody's going to win.
Not going to do it. Well, Norm, we have to see if there was actually a key up here. Can you please pick the winning key and show everybody that it would have indeed opened up this casket for $1 million?
Check Norm out, huh?
Three.
Number three.
Key number three. I
would have picked
three.
Three was the key.
Right with key. Three.
Good old Norm.
Sable, let's see if that key indeed opens it up. If you had put number three in, the lock would have popped, the top would have opened, and you would have got
$1 million.
So, we talked about a little bit on the Monday Night War show about this giveaway. and this makes me fucking not tell people I'm a wrestling fan.
Well, actually, I want to just butt in here and just to let people inform something. We review over on this podcast, we review pay-per-view. We don't review matches in terms of this many stars and that many stars don't, and added together, don't equal what the pay-per-view is. It's stuff like this. It's promos. It's build-up going in and whatnot. So whereas my totals are 70, 25, 15, I gave $25 of value to this pay-per-view for the politician getting booed. And I gave $50 here for just being able to look at Sonny and Pettengill and then listening to Vince having to call it and the guy that said he didn't even have the pay-per-view on.
Oh, my God.
Like, this was so bad that, like, you remember it now. It's like, I would say, the third most memorable part of this pay-per-view. Number one being actually what happened to Austin, which, and it should have been the finish, because the finish is probably one of the greatest ever. And then obviously the finish, and then this comes in third on a pay-per-view that's memorable. And the thing is, the matches on pay-per-view are not great, But that's three things that happened on it that will never be forgotten.
You're right, where they have a casket here filled with $1 million. Sonny and Sable.
In ones.
Exactly. They are in fucking ones. At least put a fucking bill on the top. Now, Sonny's looking all the way fucking live. I'm telling you, she was better than Sable. I don't care what people say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sable looks like her auntie here.
Yeah, she really does. She's always looked older to me. And Sonny...
Sable looks like this now.
She does. And now Sable looks like her aunt. And so they all have to pick a key. There's the WWE symbol, and there's like fucking 80 or something. There's a fucking lot of them. And they got to pick a fucking number that has a key. If it opens the lock, you win. I go, what kind of retarded contest is this? So there's a person on the phone that they call that they go, are you watching the pay-per-view? And he goes, no. And then he has an excuse, though, because he says, well, my cable system doesn't fucking carry it, which is also embarrassing, though, to Vince, because it's like, how come the cable station doesn't carry your fucking product? And so he's like, oh, I'm going to go watch at my friend's house later. And like, fuck. So, and then there's a kid who's a fucking teenager that's a fucking nerd, and he's had his head shaved like Austin.
Yeah.
And they tell him, oh, you know, you look like Stone Cold. And he goes, well, that was the point. I used to have this haircut anyway, but now since Austin, it was a fucking dude with a retard.
He was all like, oh, I got it because of Austin, but I had it way before the show.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he was trying to say, I had it done for Austin, but I didn't just get it done for this show. I've had it long for a while. He had all day to come up with that.
And he looked like cancer kids, you know? I mean, it just doesn't look right when it's a kid fucking razor blading your fucking head. And you get Sonny hugging these people and smashing her tits on their fucking back, which I'm sure the kid went home and jerked off plenty with Stridex, for God's sake. But nobody wins because the number three is your – and I guess it's because good things come in threes. That's where they pick. I really thought I remembered it being number one because it was WWF's number one. But it was number three. And I think I picked number nine. That's why I was like, I'm picking nine. That's going to be my number. So I wouldn't win the million either. But there's your fucking nonsense for this. I gave it $50 because it was so fucking, it was a train wreck. So
yeah.
I give it a lot there. Shamrock versus Bulldog. And this is, if Bulldog loses, he could lose the Euro title. And also he would have to eat a can of dog food. This is disqualification. Where we get Shamrock flips out all the time now. That's his new gimmick, and he beats.
I wonder how far apart we're gonna be here on this match.
On money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To me, it's only gonna be $50.
Oh, okay.
I it does nothing for me. I was like, whatever. I didn't really care. Other than, I mean, especially because it's a DQ. You go, well, what the fuck. You know, I wanted to see if Bulldog had to eat the fucking dog food, shit like that. And you figure he would have had to because he was rubbing it in his face and shit like that.
So I got this at 65, and let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it down as a $25 match.
Okay.
And then I thought that, like, what Shamrock did afterwards, I felt like they
saved
made a star. Not saved it. I honestly felt like they made a star. I felt like what he did and the way that the crowd responded to it, and if you go back and listen to it,
mm-hmm.
he was a made man from this point. Like, he could have gone on. I mean, obviously, if they didn't have Steve Austin, and if Austin's neck was actually fucked,
mm-hmm.
you had to go Shamrock after this. It was almost like this was the only contingency plan they had, because I feel that it would have been a smooth transition. Obviously, it may not have made as much money as Austin, but I feel that it would have been competitive, especially if you add Tyson into that main event at WrestleMania 14, and you were doing Tyson and Shamrock, mm-hmm. and you know, there's an angle there, which, and I feel like it would have been really big in the media, like Shamrock,
yeah,
Austin Mike Tyson's wrestling, the refereeing the main event of WrestleMania 14 between Shamrock and Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously looking where, actually it would have been Shamrock and Bret, because if Austin was fucked, there's no way they're letting Bret Hart go. There's no way they're letting two people go at the same time, especially with Michael's knee injury and everything at the same time. But what I'm saying is that it didn't come to that, but I feel that he was made after this because they were trying his name and everything. And this was a way to make a star in 97. You probably can't do it now because we've seen everything. But yeah, I thought it merited an extra $40. So I guess the match is 25 and the aftermath is 40 separately. So maybe you want to treat it as that.
As they have said to JR said, where Shamrock wasn't reliable for shit and they couldn't trust him. And he probably would have been the fucking world champ if he had a work ethic of showing up on time and shit like that and just showing up, period.
We never, ever got Austin and Shamrock on a big pay-per-view, like a SummerSlam or something, one-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, well, he did turn bad eventually, Shamrock, so that would have been the time, I guess. So we have DOA versus Los Pericos. The Nation is ringside. And Ahmed Johnson's there and kicks out fucking, knocks out Chains for the fucking win. That's who he ends up pinning Chains, which I'm like, I'm watching to see if there's a fucking receipt, you know, for the knee injury thing, which wasn't Chains' fault anyway. Being generous is $50. Only because, again, this is a feud. This is Ahmed coming back and being a bad guy still.
So you think this adds $50 to your $600 ticket of your pay-per-view?
Yeah, just because of the fucking... that there was a feud beforehand. I mean, yeah. You know what? You could easily talk me down to 20. But...
I actually have it at 20, so.
Yeah, I'm like, out of respect for the workers, I gave it as much as I gave that fucking phone call. Now, Austin versus Owen Hart. Now you're talking, because of the craziness that happens, not even just the fucking match. I could care less about the fucking match. This is a stipulation. Austin has to kiss Owen's ass if he loses. If Owen loses, he loses the IC title. Owen, like a dope, does a fucking inverted sit down. Fucking, I mean, of all things, how in the fuck did he do this?
I've never seen it before. This.
Get out of here.
I've never seen this
pile. Oh, that pile! I thought you meant the match. Like, oh, what the fuck?
Oh, of course I saw the match. It was replayed. The finish was replayed 100 times, but I never saw a power driver done like this.
No, never. I mean, any things that Austin had said to him, you're falling to your fucking knees. And I think Owen said, to my ass. And he goes, to your knees. He goes, my ass. And he goes, I think he's fucking with me. And he fucking fell to his ass. I'm like, he told him, I'm going to fuck you. But it's also very odd to me that, like, the aftermath, Owen never calls him to ask if he's okay? That's fucking madness to me. It's like, how is that possible? And why would they have Austin fucking raise a beer to Owen after he died when Austin didn't fucking like him after that?
No.
I gave it, well, let's see, he fucks up Austin's neck, obviously, with the pile driver. Austin does the worst pin in the history of the fucking mankind. And Owen still tries to kick out of it at the end, which fucks him up even more. Which, meanwhile, though, if they just said match is canceled, they wouldn't have had to hold him to kissing his ass. It would have been, the referee stopped it. It had nothing, you know, obviously they could fucking bullshit their way. Due to what happened and the craziness that, oh my God, what did we just witness? I gave it $200.
Oh, I went a different way with this. I went to, I think it's a $100 match, and I took
$30 away because I thought they could have thought something better for the finish. But obviously, it's like there's a historical element of it as well. But I don't think in a positive way. So I only have it 70.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think maybe 80 then at a push for the historical element of it. Just a big push, I could get it to $80. Yeah. I can't do more than that.
If I was doing stuff that happened from it, I'd give it even more. But story going into it, and it's almost like if the Owens death thing is going to be a lot of money for me too, because it's like, holy fuck, you don't see what we saw, and he was fucking done. He was quadriplegic for a fucking minute. And that shit we don't see. So I do it for it's always that kind of stuff, like the shock factor for me, shock factor of the shock master. You know that does it for me. That's why I gave it that much. So we get the final match here, and that's Bret Hart versus Undertaker. If Bret does not win the title. Which is very interesting because Bret in prior promos kept saying, if I don't win. And fucking Vince goes, no, you said if you don't win the fucking title. And it was kind of like he got caught. Like, fuck. Like he was trying to get out of his fucking deal, which I thought was very slick on the side. And this is, if Sean is the referee and if he does not call it down the middle, he has to wrestle in Canada forever. Or not in the United States, but same with Bret. He has to be out of the United States. He does call it down the fucking middle for quite a while, if you notice.
Yeah.
He could have disqualified Bret fucking easily for a lot of shit, where I'm like, why don't you just fucking disqualify him? Fuck him. But,
yeah, I mean, the match is well paced out, and the thing is, even the parts that are maybe slow, like where they're doing rest holds and everything, I think the match is better than a normal match just because you have Sean doing the count and you have stuff like Sean doing the check at the start of the match. Like you have all of this additional stuff going into it that just makes it better like throughout the entire match.
Yeah, I think it's good. And then how we get to the end, he's going to use a chair. Bret's going to use a chair, which Sean should have said, go ahead. Use the fucking chair. You get disqualified. What the fuck does he care? But he has to yank the chair away from him, yank the chair away from him. And Bret spits that nasty dry mouth spit right in the fucking face. And on his neck, it looked like it was in a gay film. And, I'm fucking going to throw up thinking about it. And so Sean rears back and fucking swings at Bret. Bret ducks. Hits Taker, and then fucking, it was a pretty slick pin, too, because he pinned him, and he's like, come on over here, do the count. It's like, fuck. And he had fucking hesitation, he counted three, and then was like, motherfucker, after he got out of the ring, and Bret's standing there all fucking proud of himself, holding up the belt. That's five, bitch. And that's how we fucking go off the air. Fantastic. Have a listen to how it ended.
Good God! This is horrible. And the Undertaker is going after Shawn Michaels.
The winner of this bout and new World Wrestling Federation champion, Bret Hitman Hart.
So that is the end of SummerSlam. I gave that match 250. Would you give it?
Yeah, I gave it $300. I gave it for $100 for the story coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the match was worth, and I thought the match was $100, $150 plus.
Yeah,
and it could have got even more because it was one of the best finishes I've seen. But my mentality was, if I paid $600 for a ticket, and the last time when it was the Canadian Stampede. When the ticket was $450, if you remember, I gave the whole tag $450.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think this was at that level because a lot of that was down to crowd response, and you really could have turned up just for that match and watched it. But I feel like if the whole rest of this card was a shit fest, this match would have been worth half of the ticket price. So it had to be $300 for me. That total was my pay-per-view at $650.
And my total is $775. And I gave nothing to the governor thing. I almost put a fucking minus on that fucking one. I'm like, get the fuck off my TV. Even though she should be heralded because she brought wrestling back to them. You know, it's like, oh, she's on our side, but whatever.
So that $775 to $650 makes no difference in this category because a B pay-per-view in this category is rated 600 to 800. And for it to be a B plus, it needed to be 800 to 850. For an A minus, 850 to 900. And for an A, it would have been 900 to 1200. 1200 plus would have been an A plus. So we're sitting bang on B, 600 to 900, despite the fact that we have a over $100 differential. But we still have this as a B pay-per-view, which I think is about right. I would say B.
Yeah.
It's way too good to be a C, but it's not good enough to be an A. So I think
BB plus, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
system still works.
It does. So that is your SummerSlam back to the Monday Night War edition. Tune in tomorrow for the fallout from August 4th, 1997. He's been Billy. I've been Cav. We're out of time.